To this end, Moynihan urged the president to avoid confrontations with black extremists and instead invest his energies in an aggressive, class-based approach to social policy. To this, liberal editorialists, activists, and academics responded in horror, calling the memo shameful, outrageous, and cruel on its face. The reaction was instructive. Liberals had so thoroughly imbibed the assumptions of the God state that to suggest the state could, never mind should, turn its back on the chosen people, for who could be more anointed than the poor black victims of slavery and segregation, was tantamount to saying that God had ceased being God. When it comes to the state, neglect could not be benign, only malign. The state is love. A more practical irony of the transformation of American liberalism is that it had fallen into the pre-fascist logic of the Bismarckian welfare state. Bismarck had pioneered the concept of liberalism without liberty. In exchange for lavish trinkets from an all-powerful state, Bismarck bought off the forces of democratic revolution. Reform without democracy empowered the bureaucratic state while keeping the public satisfied. Blacks in particular married their interests to the state and its righteous representatives, the Democratic Party. Blacks and the Democrats meet each other service for service, and so ingrained is this relationship that many liberal black intellectuals consider opposition to the Democratic Party to be, quite literally, a form of racism. Liberals also entered a Bismarckian bargain with the courts. Facing mounting disappointments in the democratic arena, liberals made peace with top-down liberalism from activist judges. Today, liberalism depends almost entirely on enlightened judges who use Wilson's living constitution to defy popular will in the name of progress. All of this is traceable back to the Kennedy assassination, in which a deranged communist martyred a progressive icon. In 1983, on the 20th anniversary of the murder, Gary Hart told Esquire, "If you rounded us, Democratic politicians, all up and asked, 'Why did you get into politics?' 9 out of 10 would say John Kennedy." In 1988, Michael Dukakis was convinced, absurdly enough, that he was the reincarnation of Kennedy, even tapping Lloyd Bentsen as his running mate to recreate the magic of the Boston-Austin axis. In 1992, the high-water mark of the Clinton campaign was the Riefenstahl-esque film of a teenage Bill Clinton shaking hands with President Kennedy. John Kerry affected a Kennedy accent in school, went by the initials JFK, and tried to model his political career on Kennedy's. In 2004, Howard Dean and John Edwards also claimed to be the true heirs of the Kennedy mantle.